Well, good morning, and it is a privilege and an honour to be asked to come and speak to you yet again here, and it's good to see you all. And I bring you greetings from the church in Loughton, Forest Hall Evangelical Church. They pray for you often, as does a church, the Funchal Baptist Church in Madeira, where they're meeting now too at this time to worship the living God. And I know that Brother Mark was brought up in Madeira, and he's going to come there one day and to see the church where I'm involved there as well. And it's good to see that God is overruling in what is going on in our worship here today, because I did select a psalm to read at the beginning, and it was Psalm number 1, which fits in with what I'm going to speak about. And also we've been looking on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be telling you in a short while about Jesus and that he is the Bible. And yes, as we've all been instructed, is to go tell the gospel this morning as well, and that's a good thing, and I hope that will come out of the message too, is that we need to ask people to come, because I've heard it said that of one Christian once, who someone was asking them to go to play golf with them every weekend, and the man didn't go. And one day the man for golf, who had invited this man to go to golf, said to him, "Why have you never invited me to come to hear the word of God?" Have we ever invited anyone to come and hear the word of God with us? Or don't we do it because we're a bit shy and we don't want to be turned down? But do invite. It's no shame. The Lord Jesus Christ has invited every one of us. We may have rejected it at first, but at last we came to Jesus. And we need to go out with the invitation. We've got a gold-plated invitation card. And don't be shy, any of us, to invite our families, our friends, to come along to hear the word of God, because surely we want them to be where we are at last in heaven. Well, this morning, I'm going to bring you the word of God, from the word of God in Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, where the disciples and those gathered there had just seen the ascension of the Lord. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. This is the word of God. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue Acheldamar, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all in the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these men thou hast chosen, that he may take part of his ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Amen. Well, let us ask the Lord in prayer to be with us now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will show us something more of yourself this morning, that we might be taken up with you, that we might be inspired, O Lord God, of thee, that a zeal would be renewed in us to go forth and tell the glory of the Lord, the glory of the gospel. So speak to us, O Lord God. Lord, may we lay aside all that takes us up day by day, legitimate and illegitimate now, that we might be unto you and to you alone, that we might receive a morning blessing from thy hand. And so, Lord God, may you bless us as we hear your word one with another now. And we ask this, giving thanks in our Saviour's name. Amen. I want to speak to us all about the Bible, because some of us might think it's a bit dry in parts, it's irrelevant in places. Many in the world seem to think that the New Testament is the only relevant part. Well, I want to show us this morning, from Genesis through to Revelation, that this book is all about Jesus. It's all about dealing with our sin. And that is the big question that we have to face, is our sin. And people don't like that. They put it aside. They cover it up with amusements and goodness knows what today, to forget that we're desperately wicked beyond all measure, our hearts are. And here the word of God reveals us for what we are before God, before the cross. We're sinners, saved by grace. The church of God is filled with sinners, that's true. But saved by grace, how amazing that is. That is amazing that God should deal with us. And I want to show us that we can see Christ. This is an amazing treasure trove, all about Christ from beginning to end. And here in Acts, Peter speaks about Christ. Amazing. If we look at Jesus through the eyes of Peter, Christ of the Bible. Amazing. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21 we read, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of those men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." The apostles. Who were the apostles? I trust we all know that the apostles were men who saw the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus. You may say, well, what about Paul? Well, he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He had this amazing experience. Not that we all get that in our conversions, but Paul did. He turned from one who was against the gospel to one who was out and out for the Lord. And I trust that we are all out and out for the Lord in the way we live our lives day by day. Young to old. Yes, the apostles were eyewitnesses of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, who came to deal with the sin question. And that is unique about Christianity over world religion, which is all about save yourself. Christianity has a mighty Saviour. We have a living Saviour who can save us to the uttermost from our sins. But not only was Peter an eyewitness to the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, but Peter also uses another source to corroborate his message. And we should note in Peter's gospel preaching that he quotes extensively from the Old Testament. And many people think that's not relevant. But Peter shows us Christ in the Old Testament. How amazing. We need to look carefully. He's there. And if the Jews had realized this, if they'd paid attention to the word of God that they had written, they would have known that Jesus was the Messiah who came to save them and bring redemption for them. You see, the Old Testament was Peter's Bible. And that was all that was available to him at that time. We have the scriptures now, in our own hand, in our own language. Men have given their lives that we would have the word. Do we use it day by day? Do we read it? It is God speaking to us, and we answer him in prayer when we've read something. And it's good that the young people learn the word of God by heart, for it will stand us in good stead in days of temptation. We should all know the word of God and sort of where to find them. The message about Jesus there in the Old Testament. And Peter gives us a classic example of how to use the Old Testament when we speak to others. Not that you have to be in the pulpit, but when we speak to others. How you can show people, because it is the infallible word of God. It's inerrant. And Peter uses this to great example. And we see this approach here in Acts chapter 1, where he develops the principle of choosing an apostolic successor to Judas. Yes, to Judas. You see, he refers to Psalm 69 and verse 25 and Psalm 109 and verse 8. There in verse 20 of the portion we read. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. We find that in Psalm 69, let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. And Psalm 109:8, let his days be few, and let another take his office. This was all pointing to Judas. Did we know it was there in the Old Testament? It's all there, plain to be seen. And we should know and be thrilled that this comes together to corroborate that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Saviour of the world, and the man who brings the balm of healing for our sin, who can take our sins far away. And he goes on in the Old to show how Christ was foretold in the Old Testament. On the day of Pentecost, he quotes from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, which we find in Acts 2:16-21, and Psalm 16:8-9, Acts 25-28. For David spake concerning him, for I saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Are we thrilled when we see such things? Do we rejoice in the Lord our Saviour? When we see it all there in the Psalms and the sermon in Solomon's porch that Peter was giving as references to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 15 to 19, Acts 3:22-23, where he says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me he shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Do we listen to the message of the word of God? We get into danger, don't we, when we don't pay attention to what we're being told, perhaps at the office, perhaps at home by mum and dad. Do we pay attention to what we're said? Do we hear what the word of God says? If we don't hear the word of God, we will be destroyed. If we don't come to Jesus and surrender all to him, this is what the message is throughout the Bible. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to him, to the Father, except through him. And his address to the Sanhedrin concludes with the searching application of Psalm 118 verse 22 in Acts 4:11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Amazing. And why does Peter make so many references from the Hebrew scriptures? You see, it is because he wants to establish that God has planned and foretold the saving work of Jesus before it happened, long before, in the councils of heaven. Do we know this? The word of God tells us it's so. And if those who knew what they were doing, the Jews, when they crucified Jesus on the Roman cross. They would have seen who he was if they'd known about Judas. You see, Judas comes along and offers to betray our Lord. But that's all foretold in the Old Testament. And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. Well, do you know what that did by paying him 30 pieces of silver? It confirmed he was the Lord, the Saviour of the world. Because this was foretold in the Old Testament. If they paid him 29 pieces of silver, or 33 pieces of silver, that would have disproved it. But they paid him the amount that was in the Old Testament. Did they read their book? No, they were taken up with traditions and other stuff, not the word of God. For there in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12 and 13, if they'd read the scriptures, not that they had verses like we have in chapters, but they would have known. And it, I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a godly, goodly price, that I was praised, that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. That is speaking about what happened to Judas. Do we know this? It's all there. When people ask us questions about these things, we can show them that all these things testify that Jesus is the Lord. When people say, well, how do you know? Well, it's all there in the Old Testament. Written hundreds of years before the Lord came on earth. Yes, Peter wanted to establish that God had planned and foretold the saving work of Christ long before it happened. If only men would listen. Wake up. Listen to the word of God. Know it inside out. Can't encourage you more. That you've been encouraged already this morning. And this would have been a powerful argument with his Jewish hearers, committed, as they used to say, to the Old Testament. As the oracles of God, they knew these things, but they didn't. Sometimes we read things and we think we know what people are saying. But then we suddenly realize, well, I didn't quite understand. We need to read the word of God carefully, prayerfully. Read it and read it and meditate on it, that we might see the Christ of the Bible. That we might know Jesus. That we might be done with sin, because he is the one, the sure healer of sin. He came to save sinners, not the righteous. He is the physician of souls who can heal us to the uttermost. The great physician. And he is the one that the Bible speaks about. Do we know this? People seem to run to all sorts of places, don't they? Even Christians. About situations in life. Go to the latest philosophy. The latest idea on certain things about the way we live. But as the Lord's people, we should come to the mighty physician of souls, Jesus. He is the one who can bring healing in all our trials and tribulations in life. He knows all about us. He has the answer. He has us in his hand if we give our souls to him. See, the message of the gospel is not a suspect revelation from an alien source. It was plain to see in the synagogue scrolls. This is what was spoken. We read in chapter 2 and verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, Peter says. It is the theme. The Old Testament prophesies of Christ, and it predicts, what it predicts have now come to pass, brothers and sisters, there at Calvary. Our salvation made clear and plain. It was dark there in the Old Testament, but revealed in the new Christ. He is the Saviour. And this is the theme that Peter uses in all his teaching, the theme that we should use. You see, Peter was very familiar with the Old Testament. Are we? Are we familiar with the Old Testament? And we can expect nothing less, because Peter was a pious Jew, trained from childhood to do what? Memorize scripture, young people, old people too, elderly, whatever, me, memorize scripture. That's what he was trained to do. That's why we train the young ones, to know the scripture, not to sing happy clappy songs, to know the word of God, because that is what saves us. And it's worth noting that even at this early stage of the church's post-resurrection history, Peter had meditated on the relationship between the prophecies and Christ. He had thought about what was prophesied and what came to pass. You see, Peter's thinking was guided by the risen Lord when he was seen by the apostles over a period of 40 days. Yes, as I said, this is the uniqueness of our faith. The risen Lord. The world religion takes you to graves to see their supposed saviours. Well, what good is a dead person? He lives forevermore. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Do we know these things? And at the heart of Jesus' teaching, the very heart of it, was his own identity and work as expounded in the Hebrew scriptures. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44 and 5. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Do we understand the scriptures? Do we seek to understand? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth in God's word to us? Do we pray before we open the book, that God might show us something more of his goodness and loveliness to us in his one and only begotten Son, Jesus? And this is why Peter has already developed here a profound Christological interpretation of the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus. The ancient jewels of Revelation glow perhaps with a luster which is altogether new. When we see the Old Testament in the light of Jesus, it comes to life for us. of God's dealing with his rebellious people, he tries to correct them. And that's what mum and dads did to us as young people, to correct us in the right things for life. Yet we never listened much. We rebelled often. And we would come under the wrath of mum and dad until we lived in obedience to please them. God created us for his good pleasure. I can't tell you why, but he did. Is he pleased with us? Does he see us in Christ? Do we please him in all we do? You see, Peter sees Jesus everywhere in the Old Testament. Law and covenant, psalms and prophets, all are radiant with the glory of Jesus, God's one and only begotten Son. You see, the Galilean fisherman handles Scripture in such a masterly way that the experts in the law in the Sanhedrin are confounded by him. And if we know the word of God in and out, we can confound those who come against us. You see, Peter lived in days of direct given revelation. He saw Jesus with his own eyes. And one of the divided tongues of a fire sat upon him, so that he was filled with the Holy Ghost and proclaimed the wonderful works of God in a language he had never heard or learned. We're not asked to do that. We're asked to proclaim Christ in our lives, not just in what we say, but in how we live. He performed miracles of healing and was the instrument through which two liars were struck down, Ananias and Sapphira, in Acts chapter 5, 1 and, to 11. Do you remember them? They kept part back from the church, and they were struck down. And he had a vision and was thrice delivered from prison by an angel of the Lord. And we see that in Acts chapter 5 and verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, and in Acts chapter 12 and verse 7 to 10, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off and from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. It was like the hymn of Charles Wesley, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? He was in the dungeon, the prison. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I went forth and followed thee. Marvellous. And this is like Peter being released from prison, isn't it? Amazing. And this is all there in the Old Testament. It should excite us. You see, what is it that excites this privileged believer, Peter, in the middle of such wonders? Do you know what it was? It was the Word of God, the Bible. Does that excite us? Or do we, oh, another day I've got to go and read my Bible because I'm being told to read it. No, Peter was thrilled. And men of God who have given their lives for this were thrilled by it. They wanted us to know about it. So it's in our own language. It's laid before us. That we might too rejoice and go to heaven. Saved by the precious blood of Jesus. You're not going to find out about salvation wandering around the earth. You might marvel at all the creation. You might think, well, someone must have created this. But you don't know about salvation and the question of sin and how that is dealt with. And it's only in the Bible. And why it excited Peter is because it is the written word of God, and it witnesses to the Saviour, his one and only begotten Son. And that light of written revelation shines more brightly for us, brothers and sisters, from the word of God than it did for Peter. Because our scriptures are more extensive than his. He only had, in his day, the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have the inspired, infallible record of the life and ministry of the Saviour of the world. The one who can save us to the uttermost, Jesus. We can't save ourselves. If we're in a fire, can we save ourselves? There have been many fires of late. People have died. There was a terrible car accident in Loughton the other week, last weekend actually, and several young people died. Could they save themselves? No, they had to come, those that did survive, and be rescued. And that is why we need a Saviour, a living Saviour, one who can come to our rescue when we realise our sin. The law shows us our sin. We didn't know anything about sin before someone told us about it. If I drive over here, I'm always aware of the speed limits anywhere, actually, and that we might break the law. But I'm only aware of the law because I know that's the law. Otherwise, I'd drive at any speed down the roads. And then I'd have to face the consequences. And not knowing the law makes no excuse, really. It's no excuse. But the law does reveal our sin to us. And that's why people don't like the word of God. And the Gospels tell us of what God did in Christ. And the epistles, the letters, provide an authoritative interpretation of the meaning of those redemptive events that took place in and around Jerusalem. And it is inevitable then that much of our speaking, our outreach in our own lives, and that's what it should be, will be based on the New Testament. For it contains the full disclosure of salvation. It is the final disclosure of salvation. But if we just stick to the New Testament, we lose a great deal. If we were to neglect the Old Testament in our outreach with the Gospel. Because we can support, corroborate what is in the New Testament from the Old. And it helps us in our faith too. Do we believe? We'll read the Old Testament and see it's all there. It's not just something that happened after Calvary. Yet it's very much overlooked too often, the Old Testament. We need to embrace the Old Testament, its prophecies. The New Testament is the fulfillment of all that has gone there in the Old Testament. And there's still some that remains to be fulfilled. Speaks about the coming of the Lord and what it will be. Are we watching and waiting? Do we know what is recorded in the word of God about the last times? Sin will abound. Oh, don't go with the modern flow, that which the world is teaching in schools and all sorts of places. Stay with the Lord. Be safe in Christ. And Peter's frequent citations of Old Testament in his gospel preaching encourage us to see it in the same way. How persuasive it will be when we show our hearers the accuracy of which Jesus and his sufferings are foretold hundreds of years before he came upon earth. And as we explain to those round about us the amazing detail of the prophecies, surely their faith will be awakened and surely ours will be. We'll have a new zeal, and they will come to see that the message must be from God. When people read the word of God, for it is his power unto salvation, they come to see Jesus. When we ask them for afternoon tea and cakes, and there's no opportunity to speak about the word, how do they know about Jesus? Let the word of God tell people. When they come and question you about things, you say, this isn't what I say, this is what the word of God says about marriage, or about immorality that goes on today, and relationships. This is what God has to say. Let the word of God go forth in all its glory, in all its power, to convert men, women and boys and girls. Why? Because we don't want to see them go to hell. We should love them as people but hate their sins, and tell them of Jesus. That's why I come to tell you. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, Jesus, that all those that come unto him in repentance and faith shall be saved. They shan't go to that terrible place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People want to know about heaven. Well, how can they find out about heaven if we don't tell them, or we don't point them to the word of God? Speak in truth to them. Don't be afraid. Say it's God speaking, that which you try to shut out. Listen to God if you want to go to heaven at last. You see, as we explain to them the amazing detail of the prophecies, they're going to realize it is of God. How enlightening are the sacrifices, the ceremonies and types recorded in the books of Moses. Books of Moses are the first five books, the Pentateuch, from Genesis through to Deuteronomy. The spotless lamb, the holy of holies, the sprinkling of blood, all speak vividly of what? Of salvation. Not of terrible things of killing animals and the like. As people say, it speaks of our salvation. Is our speaking of Christ, and I ask this lovingly, dull? Dull. Do people understand what we're saying? You see, Jesus is alive. He lives forevermore. And the examples, and we could even say visual aids we have in the Bible, have a colour and immediacy which will reach many who would be left cold by concepts and abstractions. Use the word of God to explain things. It's thrilling. The accounts of God's rescuing his people from their enemies in Egypt. There have been many films made about the Old Testament, haven't they? In Canaan, in Babylon, and how compelling they illustrate the great deliverance from the power of Satan. people all know about good and evil, because most of the modern films are all about battles between good and evil, aren't they? And when everybody cheers on when the good win. Do we truly know whose side we're on? Do we truly know that Jesus is the Saviour? And that Jesus has won the battle? It's not something that's going to take place. Satan is bound until the last. Jesus is victor. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to give him a helping hand. He has done it all, the Word of God tells us. Simply to thy cross we cling, nothing in our hands we bring. No sword, we don't have to stand up and defend the Word. Proclaim it in the way we live and show that it has great power in our lives to overcome Satan. Should we neglect the Old Testament? I say never, never, never. In fact, the reverse is the case. It is precisely because Christ and his salvation have been revealed that we should preach from the Old Testament, or speak from the Old Testament, all the more, since it is only now that it can be understood fully because of what took place at Calvary, our Lord's death and resurrection and ascension. He lives now to intercede for us in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. And if anything really should be a symbol of the Christian faith, it should be the empty tomb. The empty tomb. So let us use the whole Bible in our speaking, when we talk to people about Christ. In the Old Testament, we know, I trust, that Christ is veiled and unveiled in the New Testament. But do we truly know Jesus Christ? Do we know him as Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Is he like our Father? Do we listen to our earthly fathers? Some of us, our earthly fathers have already gone. But we have one who listens to us day after day. Our Father in heaven, who has all our good at heart. He wants us to be his good, faithful and true children, that he will bring us home at last, land us safe on Canaan's side, saved through the precious blood of Jesus, nothing else. We have no good works. We only have the blood of Jesus. Are we covered in the blood? Day after day, protecting us from Satan, from self, from the world. Oh, may we show the blood of Christ to others, that they might receive salvation at last. For surely we desire all men to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For Jesus came to save that which was lost. He wants all men to come unto himself. We shouldn't be selective as to who we speak to about Jesus. We don't know who are his sheep. God does. But we're to trumpet the word of God to all men, all over the world, wherever they are. Because God created us in his image and his likeness, and he would have all men come unto himself. And we are his instruments, as frail as we are, in his hand, to to go forth as Peter did and the other apostles to speak about Jesus. And wicked men could have destroyed the gospel in the early days, and they've tried ever since, killing off the Lord's people. But the word of God remains firm forever. How marvellous that is. That's another testimony that no man has eradicated the Bible, even when wicked men, and they still do today, burn Bibles and try to remove it from the face of the earth. Great testimony that it is true. May God bless you and keep you all in his care. Amen. Let us close by singing 200,